Good morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here with you. I'll admit, after studying the Sunday school lesson about Paul's testimony, I tremble a little bit to get up here. I don't feel as bold as Paul, and you all know that I have weaknesses, so God help us not to focus on that, but to rise above them. This morning I was challenged with the thought in verse 33 in the Sunday in the Sunday school lesson. Paul's testimony about what I plan to speak about this morning. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I'm not able to testify to that this morning, but my desire is to get there by God's grace. I want to talk this morning about jealousy. The sin of jealousy. I will attempt to explain what jealousy is, and then I want to go in and read some scriptures, some examples of where jealousy led and the danger that it is. You know, it seems like we could just have a little jealousy in our heart and nobody would see it. But this morning, the Bible makes it clear that jealousy will lead us, in some cases, can lead us to murder. And that sounds harsh. But I'll attempt to explain that through Scripture this morning. So, jealousy and envy are very closely related, and we use them kind of interchangeably. We could call them a close cousin. But I want to mainly think about jealousy this morning. I believe that jealousy is more about protecting what one already has. So we could call it a three-person dynamic. While envy is more of a feeling of resentment and a longing for something that someone else has or possesses. It's more the thought of two people being involved. They're both in a very negative sense. They're both very wrong. They're both born in pride, and they are rooted in selfishness, and both bear ugly fruit. And I don't want to talk all this while long without maybe I'd like to first look at some traits so that maybe to help identify, do I have this in my heart? Is this something that I struggle with? I think one trait, we'll look at a couple traits here first. I believe one trait is a selfishness and a mentality that I want the best for myself. I want myself to be satisfied, fulfilled, and happy. That's top on my list. And I think a test of this can be, am I happy when I see someone else succeed in life? Does that make me happy for them? Romans 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And I admit that I find it easier to weep with them that weep. It's much easier to comfort someone that is weeping especially when it's when they succeed in an area that I wish I myself could succeed in. It's hard to rejoice with them that rejoice. Just being honest here. To me, that is number one sign of jealousy in my heart, wishing I was where someone else was or had something that someone else did. Another trait is, I believe, is insecurity. I'm more susceptible to jealousy or envy if I find my security in people, in positions, or possessions. If that's where I'm looking in life to be fulfilled, I will be more easily moved when I see someone else excelling in one of those areas. But if I find my security in God and in healthy human relationships, these things, when they happen, I believe we'll be able to follow Romans 12 and rejoice with them that rejoice, if it's not what we're finding our security in. We will weather the storms of life a lot better if we're not looking to those things for security. Just keep in mind, if it's a person that I am jealous of, that person, or the person that I'm envious of, essentially that person controls my mind. And we don't want that, for sure. But have you ever noticed, if I'm jealous of another person, something maybe their family life is succeeding and their children are just obedient, and we're just kind of envious of how easy it looks and that how easy family life looks for them. Have you ever noticed how what they do, we react to? And in a sense, we give them control of our life, of my thought patterns, and of my values. Maybe someone else is succeeding in business. It's the same business. We have a bunch of farmers here. Maybe somebody's succeeding, and it just gets under our skin that we can't be right there with them. That person will control our thoughts and our actions. I believe another trait of jealousy is discontentment in my life. Just not happy with the lot I've been given. There's a better something out there. Another thing can be a critical spirit towards others. We tend to look at others critically if we are jealous of what they have. I'm not saying that's always 100% the case. But if we first are jealous of them, then I believe we'll look at them more critically. Essentially, jealousy and envy will lead to bitterness and violence. And we will see that in some Bible stories that I want to read to the children this morning to keep them involved. We'll see that where it can lead and how serious it is. And I don't know about you, but I find it hard to explain or get a thought across without reading a story. And so I plan to read a couple out of a Bible story book this morning. I would like to keep the children involved. So let's just say anybody from ages 10 and down, please listen while I read the story because it's especially for you. I want to look first at Cain and Abel. And if you adults want to follow along, it's Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 16. So this is the very beginning of time. How could there be jealousy when there's four people on the earth and they're all one family? How could there be jealousy? Because Adam and Eve had done wrong, they had to find another place to live outside of the Garden of Eden. They knew they were being punished for the wrong they had done. Adam had to work hard and long to get food for Eve and himself. No doubt his hands and feet were sometimes bruised and torn by thistles and thorns. Eve too had pain and sorrow. Her home was not so happy as it had been before she disobeyed God. Adam and Eve could no longer walk and talk with God face to face, yet they still worshipped him and confessed their sins to him. They offered him gifts upon their altars, on a pile of stone or earth. They placed wood for a fire. Then they laid their offering on the wood, set fire to it, and the offering was burned. Adam and Eve must have been lonely, with no other people to talk to, but God planned there would be more people. A baby boy was born to Adam and Eve. They called him Cain. How they must have loved him. Later, God gave them a little boy, and they named him Abel. When Cain and his brother Abel grew old enough to understand, Adam and Eve told them about the great God, how much Adam and Eve wanted their sons to love and please God. Cain and Abel grew to manhood. Like Adam, Cain worked in the fields, and Abel took care of the sheep. They built altars and offered their gifts to God. Cain brought food from the field for his offering. Abel brought a fat lamb. God must have looked on Abel and seen his sorrow for his sins and his desire to be forgiven. God must have seen his trust, and God was pleased with Abel's offering. God was not pleased with Cain's offering, and Cain was very angry. God said to him, "Why are you angry? Why do you look so sad? If you do well, you will be accepted. If you do not, you will be taken by sin. Do not let sin get a hold on you. Master it instead." Later, when the brothers were in the field, Cain quarreled with Abel. Cain became so angry that he killed Abel. Again, God spoke to Cain. He asked, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" Cain replied, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" God knew that Cain had done wrong. God knew what Cain had done. He told Cain, "Because you have done wrong, you will be punished. You will till the ground, but your crops will be poor. You will wander here and there without any place to call your home." Cain said, "Oh God, this punishment is greater than I can bear. If people try to kill me when I wander from place... What if people try to kill me when I wander from place to place?" God answered, "I will put a mark on you. Then people will know they are not to do harm. They are to do no harm." Cain wandered far away into a land called Nod. There he lived for many years. Okay, so God here in this story was looking for a sacrifice that involved the shedding of blood. And I believe that it seems both men knew this, and both men brought their offering. Abel brought a sacrifice in obedience to what he knew God wanted, what God was looking for. And Cain brought something of his own making. Something he had worked hard to create himself. And it seemed Cain wanted to deal with his sin in his own terms and in his own way. And while it may have seemed like a sacrifice to Cain, he knew it wasn't what God was looking for. God had respect to the one that obeyed. It wasn't that Abel was a favored man or first in God's eyes for any reason. It was simply that Abel obeyed God. Cain did not. And Cain, seeing his brother's sacrifice being accepted, while his own was not, made him jealous. And Cain allowed that jealousy in his heart to grow to something so large, it overtook him, it controlled him, and he finally murdered his brother. I had to think for us, the mistake that we can so easily make is offering to God what we view as a sacrifice. And what I'm talking about is trying to earn our salvation through good works. Maybe they're right things, but maybe we view our church attendance, our involvement in church, or the great things we do in our community, or the mission field we support, as our sacrifice to God. It's only as we bring ourselves to God and fall before God and receive his cleansing blood that these things that we do in life take meaning. It was a shedding of blood that he was looking for, that God was looking for in a sacrifice. Another story of jealousy I want to read is King Saul, when he was trying to kill David. And again, ages 10 and down, listen up. I'm going to read you a story. Okay, we all know this story. How Saul became jealous of David because of his success in the battlefield. And people began to admire David for his success and who he was in the battlefield. Okay, David flees for his life. Because Saul was about to take David's life, David ran to find safety. He came to a city called Nob. The tabernacle had been moved here after the Philistines stole the Ark of God. The priest cared for the tabernacle every day. Ahimelech was the high priest. How surprised Ahimelech was to see David come running into the tabernacle. He knew David was a brave captain, and it seemed very strange to see David by himself. Ahimelech asked, "Why are you alone?" David did not want anyone to know he was running from King Saul, lest anyone report him to the king. He said, "The king has sent me on a secret mission." As David looked at the bread in Ahimelech's hand, he remembered how hungry he was. "Give me the 5 loaves of bread you have, for I am very hungry," he said. While David ate the bread, one of Saul's servants saw him. It was Doeg, Saul's head herdsman. Now David knew he must find another place to hide. "Give me a sword," David told Ahimelech. "I left in such a hurry that I forgot mine." The priest handed David Goliath's sword. Just having this sword in his hand made David feel better. I'm sorry, I forgot to share with you the scripture. It's going to be 1 Samuel 21, verse 1, if you want to follow along. And it'll be the story kind of ends there at chapter 22, verse 5. Just having this sword in his hand made David feel better. He remembered how God had helped him when he faced Goliath. "There is no sword like this one," he said. Poor David. He did not know where to hide, but he had to go somewhere. Surely Saul would not look for him among the Philistines. So he crossed the border into enemy territory. He went to Achish, the king of the Philistines. When the Philistines saw David, they asked Achish, "Is this David of Israel? Do not the people sing of him? Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s." And the Philistines wanted to keep David as their prisoner. David soon discovered that he was not safe here either. He wished he had never come to this city. Achish might even try to kill him. Finally, David decided to pretend he was crazy. Maybe the Philistines would be afraid of him and let him go. Achish brought David before the people and said, "Look, this man is crazy. Why bring him to me? Do you think I need a crazy man in my court?" When the Philistines saw how David acted, they decided they did not want him. David escaped and returned to Israel. And as he went through the wilderness, he found a cave among the rocks, and here in the cave of Adullam, he hid for many days. David's family found out about his hiding place and came to live there to live with him there. Their lives, too, were in danger. How sorry David felt to see his old mother and father driven away from their home with no place to live. He left his hiding place and took them to Moab, where his great-grandmother Ruth had lived. He asked the king of Moab, let my father and mother live here until I know what the Lord will do for me." The king of Moab agreed, and David's parents were safe. David returned to the cave of Adullam. Somehow, word got around that David was hiding there, and many people joined him. All who were in trouble or in debt or in distress came. They thought life would be better for them if David were their leader. Soon David had an army of 400 men. Okay. Again, we see the fruit of jealousy leading to murder. David was better than Saul. He was killing, it says, Saul the thousands and David the 10,000s. And Saul couldn't handle them praising David like that. And we all know the story well, how they used to be friends. They used to work together. But it's human nature. When we see someone rising above, jealousy drives us apart. And I want to look at an account in Matthew chapter 27, verse 17 through 23. This is when they brought Jesus before Pilate. "Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye release? Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he had sat down at the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all saith unto him, Let him be crucified. Pilate knew good and well it was jealousy that they brought Jesus to him. He knew it was envy. And yet, he didn't want to take the responsibility on himself. There stood the crowd in front of him, and he said, "What should I do? Who should I release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." And even his wife came and warned him. She said, I've suffered many things in a dream, but about this man, and he's a just man." But Pilate listened to the crowd, and envy and jealousy drove them to murder. And you might be thinking, that sounds very harsh. We would never murder our brother, ever. That's way out there, and I agree. But is it possible that if we are jealous of our brother or envious of another, that it could cut off the flow of love to that brother or that sister? I don't want to make something that isn't, but the Bible says that if we love not our brother, we're as good as a murderer. Is it possible, if we're envious, that we cannot love the person we're envious of? I was going to read the account of Joseph, but I feel like I've done a lot of reading this morning, so I'm going to skip that for you children, but you know the story well of how Joseph became a slave because of his envious brothers. And it was obvious that Jacob had a favorite son, and his brothers knew this and they could feel this. And it made them very jealous. And then on top of that, Joseph came around and was telling them of the dreams that he had had about they were out in the field and shucking wheat and all the sheaves bowed down to his. And can you imagine that would kind of create some jealousy? My product is superior to everybody else's. My wheat is better, is maybe what they could have thought. And we know how the story goes, how Jacob sent him out to check on the flock and the brothers. And the brothers seen him coming afar off. And they thought, this is their chance to get rid of that dreamer boy. And to get rid of all his ideas about who he is. And let's see how his dreams play out if he's not around. And they captured him and threw him in a pit. Their intent was to leave him there. But God had better plans. And the merchants came along and they sold him. They ended up getting some cash for their brother. And he went to Egypt and fulfilled God's plan and what God had planned for him. But again, another account of jealousy, envy, leading to murder. Jealousy seems like one of those innocent little sins, but it will lead us much further than we intend to go. I want to look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 14. But if any have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable and gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Let's not tell ourselves that envy and jealousy is not sin, and that it won't affect us. We see here it says, lie not against the truth. Don't deceive your heart and tell you it's not a sin. Jealousy and envy will send roots down deep, and those roots spring up in bitterness, in places, unexpected places in our life. They suddenly spring up, and as we said earlier, jealousy is rooted in pride. Jealousy is rooted in pride. And if we allow these prideful thoughts and jealous thoughts towards others, thinking we need to be on top, we give the devil a foothold in our life. Jealousy at the core is trying to lift myself above others, to make myself look better. But we're not willing to go to the work to better myself, or to overcome, or to, you name what we can be jealous of. James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Don't lift yourself up. Allow God, through humility, to lift you up. Now I want to share in closing here just a few helps for jealousy. I think number one and the most obvious is that we need to admit that I have jealousy in my heart. I have envy in my heart. Admit that to someone around you, or admit that to God in prayer. Ask God, number two, ask God to forgive you of sin, of the sin of jealousy, and to wash you in the blood. Don't try to do like Cain and bring good works to cover what we think is small. Don't try to become a better person and to overcome it by becoming more educated about the problem. God offers a simple remedy for sin. In other words, like Cain, becoming a better farmer to overcome the ground that won't produce. Simply get rid of the things that are causing the ground to not produce. Number three, develop a heart of gratefulness. Think back over the past year and the blessings that you have been given. The valleys that God has led you through, the seemingly low times of life that God has brought you through. And remember that He's been faithful. That's a blessing. Consider other blessings, your earthly blessings. The fact that you have food on your table and your family is healthy. And the list goes on and on. Considering our blessings causes us to be grateful and to realize that we are blessed beyond what we deserve. Number four, look to God for your security. As we said, don't look to people or possessions or positions for your security. These three things will disappoint. Look to God. Understand that we are here for a purpose, and God has placed you right here today for a purpose. You have a place to fill. No matter the age you are, we all have a place to fill. I believe that busy people, working people, are happy people. If we have too much time on our hands, and I mean working, involving ourselves in, yes, our everyday labors, but also working in the kingdom, busy people will be happy people. Engage in where you are, and that will help to militate against the jealousy that we struggle with in our hearts of what the things that we don't have or the things that we think we need. God bless you as you consider all the things that God has given you, and you consider the job and do the job that God has given you, and stay busy in the kingdom. And I think we will not find ourselves looking around and being jealous of what we don't have. So God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.